Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast, where we give you all the news, the reviews, and the
rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I'm joined by Vikarth. He is the Stealth King, the Solid Snake to my Nathan Drake, the Professor of Gaming. How are you, mate? Doing?
I'm still in a dream.
Snake Eater.
I'm doing well, everyone. Snake Eater.
And I'll be joining Vikarth today.
Jordan is absent.
But it's just us two, and we're going to react to the PlayStation Showcase. Ooh, we've had a few messages. What did you boys think? Ooh. Well. You're going to find out right now.
Let's start with Vikarth.
What do I think?
We're going to go through specific games, so don't go into specific games. But just go into general overall thoughts. Then we're going to dissect certain games along the way. And we're also, because I recorded our reactions, I'll pipe in some reactions to MGS and a couple other games after the fact. So anyway.
When I watched it, I thought this is so terrible. It's just such a horrible conference. I really did not like it. I was so disappointed. And that was purely because I had my expectations so high. And I think rightfully so, I had it high. Like, you know, this is a showcase after 2 years. This isn't a state of play where we temper our expectations. It's a showcase. And, you know, they have been so quiet, Sony, for the last 2 years. We thought, okay, this is where they're going to announce it all. Give us an update on what everyone is doing. Get us hyped for the years ahead. We wanted to see big things from Naughty Dog and Factions. We wanted to see big things, in terms of, I'm just trying to think of other things off the top of my head, maybe a Bloodborne. We were trying to.
Bend, Blue Point.
What are they up to?
Sucker Punch,
San Diego, whatever. We wanted the heavy hitters, and we got none of that. So I was very disappointed. But when I sort of mulled over it over the week,
That's why we don't do this straight after.
Yeah, that's why we don't do it straight after.
That's why we have to simmer on it a bit.
Exactly right. As I simmered on it, I thought, okay, it wasn't too bad. It was probably a C.
Yeah.
Like a, you know,
65% out of 100.
Yeah, maybe a 6 or 7 out of 10. It's maybe 6. Because when you actually do think about it, we did get announcements from some of their new studios. We got announcements that were big, maybe not for us, but for others, even Bungie and things like that. So, you know, we did get some stuff in there, but overall, I think it was very underwhelming. And I would say Sony definitely wanted the hype. They wanted us to be lured in with the hype, the excitement. But I think it was just, I was pretty disappointed in that showing. What about you, Dan?
I'd give the showcase a 4 out of 10. Mm. Yeah. I told you I came in with high expectations, as did you. And I said I was going to be harsh if they didn't deliver, and they didn't. They only showed off 4 first-party games of the – how many do they have? 20 or plus?
Actually, Dan, I'm gonna lower mine to a 5 because I realized No. You sort of did anchor me, but you mentioned something that I completely forgot to include in my rating, and we'll go into that. But yeah, keep going.
No. So they've got 4 first party people there. 3 of them were CGI trailers, and that's 1 was Spider-Man.
Exactly.
And
CGI
guess what?
Trailers.
Guess what? I wasn't all big on Spider-Man, sadly.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a hot take. Didn't excite me whatsoever. Okay. Now, we'll dissect that when we get to there. But all those CG trailers as well didn't really show off anything like Concord. It's a first-person shooter. That trailer did not show me that. I had to look that up in the blog. If you're going to do a CG trailer like that, I think it's got to be like Ghost of Tsushima 2 or something like that, where we know the title. And then we had games like Mirage, which we already knew about, Alan Wake 2. They look great, I'm telling you, but they're not really pushing the medium forward. There was one game that I felt that wow, we're in next gen. They're trying new things. This looks epic. And it wasn't Spider-Man. It was Phantom Blade Zero. I thought that was a standout of the show.
Yeah.
That was the one that where I went, wow, they're trying new things. This is different. The whole thing, and, you know, it may not play anything like that, but from what we saw, that was the only thing that really grabbed my attention, sadly. So, yeah, overall, I think it's a bad showcase. I thought the flow was terrible. And I told you, we've got the reaction. I might pipe it in here, but.
Oh.
Dude, if that's opening the show, we're not looking good.
I told you, if that's the first game they're showing, which was Fair Game.
Yep.
It was a CG trailer by
Haven.
Haven.
So that's just Jade Raymond's studio. Newly acquired by Sony.
Jade Raymond's studio. Yep. So I said, if that's what they're showing us first, we're in for a bit of a shock. This isn't going to be great because you needed a big opening. I would have put MGS at the start, but then they fall into the trap of shit. That's our biggest surprise of the whole showcase. So you're setting it that bar and you wouldn't have been able to live up. It could have been even worse if they do that. So I get why they put it in the middle. I 100% get why they did that. Because if they didn't put it in the middle, can you imagine the burn between that middle with all 100%. Those? So I get it, but I wouldn't have opened with Fair Game. I would open with Phantom Blade. So there was another one that piqued my interest, Sword of the Sea it was called.
Yeah, there were a few good ones. And I think you're right. If they started off with Metal Gear, the issue is they had nothing really to maintain that. They had no – even Fair Game. Fair Game I thought actually was a good way to start because it was a Sony first party unannounced title. We had no idea what Haven were working on. Obviously, this being a live action game, this is one of the many live action projects Sony have openly stated that they're working on. So it was good to see that. So I thought it was a good start. It was a way to set the pace to get the rest of it, you know, going. And the only issue is I just don't think that it really maintained that pace, unfortunately.
All right, so let's go through some of the titles. So we did start with Fair Game.
You can tell that there is this Ubisoft or Watch Dogs type touch to it. It looks like it's a PvP. Not sure if it's a PvPvE.
Yeah, PvE as well.
Okay, so it's PvPvE. And I remember telling Dan when we first saw this, I'm like, this reminds me of Hood, Outlaws and Legends, which for anyone who doesn't know, that I guess that kind of says it all, where that game just came and went. So it looks like this is a type of, you know, because Hood, Outlaw and Legends, Dan, was a heist PvPvE where, you know, rival parties, they are competing against each other to get to the loot, which is guarded by AI. So it looks like it's the same thing. This has a very Payday Watchdog type feel to it, obviously with guns, which is the Ubisoft cream of the crop. That's Ubisoft stock standard. It's guns and modern day shooter. But
it depends if they can get the gameplay where it you need really good cooperative teamwork where there's, you know, lasers, you've got to jump through these puzzles and then there's intense gunfights and you've got to get that right mix. If it's just a shooter fest blasting through everything, it's not going to work. It's not going to retain an audience. I don't feel like they've got to come up with a way to have an engaging level design, I would say. And there is a photo here that's on the PlayStation blog of this like big building, which is obviously where you're going to head in and infiltrate. So there's endless possibilities, but
it's pretty new. So we weren't expecting gameplay from Haven. It's far too
No.
It's great that they showed something. I'm actually surprised that they were able to show something so shortly after the acquisition. So, you know, I think the acquisition, I'm trying to remember when it was, but I think it was in March. Oh, it might have been March last year, actually. So it probably has been a year. But
so they're saying it's a captivating multiplayer game where you break the rules as a modern-day Robin Hood, a thrill seeker.
Good Outlaws and Legends,
someone who wants to collect loot. Cool loot. Trespass inside forbidden locations around the world. Fill your pockets like a kid in a candy store. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I agree with you, Dan, where you kind of hope that it has that variety of gameplay, the unique traversal, whatever it is. It needs to have a unique spin on it. This, Dan, is going to be one of the many live service titles. And judging by what Sony are doing, they are not going for quality over quantity. They are going for quantity over quality. They are throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks, which, if you think about live service, Dan, all you need is one Destiny, and all those millions of dollars investing in 20 different projects gets made like that. Because
they have to still support the studios that have the ones that don't work out. That's what I hope.
Yeah. And look, I hope it does well. You know, the thing with Jade Raymond is she's a producer. So I don't think she was a creative mind. You know, she wasn't the director. She wasn't, you know.
Well, we don't know. Yeah. We can't say what we don't know, but.
Yeah, but I'm just saying
her name's on some good stuff, so you can only go off that.
Yeah, we can go off that. But she was a producer and all of those stuff. So
producer's a tough one because you don't know what that entails, really. It's such a vague
open term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is, especially in the movie business.
Yeah. I hope it does well. I think it's great. You know, I think Sony need to branch out from the third person action adventure. And this is one of them. So
okay, so here's one, the next game, Vike, that just everyone's excited about, and I'm here going, this is bad. Helldivers. Tell me what is special about this game, please.
Well, the funny thing is, Dan, Helldivers 1 probably was a differentiating because it was top down.
That's what I'm saying. Now they've gone third person. So tell me what.
Which, if you look at it from an inter-game. Like, if you look at it within the series, it probably does look like a necessary and good iteration. But if you look at it from the industry, it just looks a bit, it looks very.
But Sony's got enough third person shooters that it's like, they've finally got a top down, a quality top down. Oh, we're going to turn it into a third person shooter.
But you know what? Arrowhead probably thought we can iterate on this really well. And a third person shooter, we could make it into a really good third person shooter. So, like you said, Dan, and we're going to get to Phantom Blade Zero, the original Phantom Blade's a mobile game. So, you know, there is what we're talking about where it's that iteration, right? So, yeah, I know what you're saying. Hopefully it does well. I mean, Helldivers 1 was pretty well reviewed and revered from memory. It has a 9 out of 10 on Steam. I think its Metacritic was pretty good.
But what are it's literally just going to be shooting aliens in open fields.
That's Doom.
Getting
man.
Better loot. It's been done 1,000 times before. What is new about it? This is what I said about the whole showcase. This is what I was saying. Where's the innovation? Give me something new. The trailer showed me nothing that I hadn't seen before, nothing new. I just wasn't excited. And I love shooters. Third person shooters, my favorite genre, man. Like, and if you can't get me excited, who can you get excited? The legacy Helldiver fans? I don't know. This is going to be another one that I feel like will just come and go in the cycle.
This game is published by Sony. So I don't think, Arrowhead is not a Sony internal studio, but it is published by Sony. Well, Helldivers 1 was so. And we saw the PlayStation Studios logo at the front of the trailer. So I'm assuming that it is developed by Arrowhead Games, and looks like Helldivers is a registered trademark of Sony Interactive. So Helldivers is a Sony IP, Dan.
Let's keep an eye on that. The next one, Immortals of Avium, which we've seen several times now. I'm quite excited for it. Now I'm at the point where I'm just looking to get in and dirty with it. They've really been confident with the gameplay they've shown from this title. This is the EA game that we've talked about for a few weeks now with the magic spells coming first person.
It's like a magic FPS, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of what you wanted Ghostwire Tokyo's gameplay to be, but it wasn't. They've just gone crazy with the effects, and it's essentially it's a first person shooter. It's plays like that, but it's magic. So yeah, I'm keen for it.
Ascendant Studios, this is the team behind it. They were actually formed 2018 by Dead Space, veteran Dead Space and Call of Duty game devs. And this will be the studio's first major release. So that talent, it's part of the EA Originals program, with which, you know, say what you want about EA, their Originals program has done well. They do have good indie titles out. They do take care of their originals and bring out good quality. And, you know, obviously It Takes Two and A Way Out are just a few of them. But, you know, this Dan, I know, I'm actually excited for this like you are, Dan, because the studio, the talent, it's EA Originals. It's a different style of FPS. Like, you know, the funny thing is with Helldivers, Dan, we have, and when I compare Helldivers in this, where we want something different.
Exactly.
The funny thing is you don't have to do much.
No.
Because we've seen so many FPSs, but have we seen FPSs without guns, where it's magic and there's traversal and there's unique spells and there's probably some sort of parrying and all this sort of battling system? That's what makes it different. You know, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, who knows what Helldivers, like the gameplay, like you said, Dan, did look a bit generic, but I have a lot of faith in Immortals of Avium, and I hope it does really well. It's really exciting, and it's something different. It's a different and unique experience.
And they've got they are a AAA studio. They're calling themselves a AAA studio. So we're looking for quality. The graphics look good. Like the quality's there. They've got some decent actors involved.
Oh, Jessica Pearson from Suits, right?
Suits, yeah. I forgot her name. Yeah.
She's on Firefly. Now, she's on a lot of stuff.
YouTubers and the like have been playing the game as of last week. So you probably will see a preview, and when we'll get to see some raw gameplay and raw impressions, I would say this week or next. So that'll be interesting to see what they say. Now, let's keep an eye on that one. We're not going to go through every game on this showcase, but Ghost Runner 2 was announced. I am keen for it. It looks good. But again, this was one of those games that it's a nice little announcement, but it could be in a state of play. It could be.
Do you know what I thought, Dan? I
don't think it didn't need to be here.
It's that these announcements, like Ghost Runner and Helldivers, they're good momentum carriers. They're not momentum lifters. You know, when you think of like your classic E3, the momentum lifters are your Metal Gear Solids and your Spider-Mans. These are great momentum carriers to have after. That keeps you hyped. You're already in a good mood. You receive these stuff well, and they're actually great titles if you think about it. But in this showcase, there was no momentum lifters. So it was just so drab the whole time.
Ghost Runner is one of those ones that it's getting a little cult sort of following, but it's not quite there yet. They haven't perfected things, and so maybe they will with this game. And I say good on them, but at this point in the showcase, it didn't do anything for me, sadly. So this
I will
is
say,
where,
Dan, did you? Yeah. Sorry, before you go, did you play the first Ghost Runner?
No, I didn't finish it. I only played a little bit, like so it? I can't. I did like it, but I want to actually get in and play it from start to finish.
I downloaded it the other day.
Yeah,
So here's the thing, Dan. It was $30, and I'm like, and then I saw to upgrade to PlayStation Essential is $30. I'm like, all right,
okay.
Because you get it for free on PlayStation Essential.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, I'll just upgrade. So I've got PlayStation Essential now. So I've got Ghost Runner. I downloaded Yakuza as well, Like a Dragon.
Nice. That's a good game.
Yeah, just to see. Now, this is a classic Vike where I've got all these hopes and dreams, Dan, but there is a possibility where I don't touch any of these. I've just thrown $30 down the drain.
No, you will. You will. Do you know what I downloaded recently?
What's that?
Death Stranding. It's time to run it again. So you should run it at the same time as me, and we come back each week with updates. I think.
Guess what, Dan?
What?
I'm 8 hours in.
Nah, you're not.
I am.
Are you?
I'm 8 hours into Death Stranding, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
I was going to hide it. Like, I was going to keep it to myself until I finished the game and then tell you guys, but it was just a good opportunity to say it. So I started it on Saturday. I had a free weekend this weekend. So Saturday and Sunday night I played it, and I'm loving it. It's really good. I don't know what's going on. I get the story. I'd have no idea, but it's enjoyable, funnily enough, walking and delivering packages. It's good. I'm enjoying it. I'm on episode 2. Or chapter 2, I should say. I'm probably near the end of chapter 2.
You're funny.
Chapter 2. Like, I know that the first the first three chapters are like a third of the game. So,
it picks up.
Yeah. So it's good. Good so far. Really enjoying it. Have no idea what I'm doing and have no idea what's going on, but.
Yeah, I'm going to run it back again. So I'll try and get to your this week.
But I don't play the director. I'm not playing the director's cut. I don't think so.
Either am I. Because I'm getting the platinum on the original. So, yeah. And you can just pop the trophies for the directors. So this is all Jordan. Lingo that you don't understand because you don't care. You're pathetic.
Jordan, do you think Jordan's listening to this?
He's got the platinum on both versions. But no, he's a disgusting human being. You know why? He doesn't 100% games. He gets the platinum and leaves it. So he doesn't do the DLC.
Who's more disgusting, Dan? Jordan, who platinums a game and doesn't 100% it?
Yeah.
Or me, who...
Leaves it one off. Yeah, leaving it one off is pretty devastating. I've got to admit. But if you leave every game you play one off until you're 99 years old, and then when you're 99, you pop all the platinums and get the world record.
When they start giving money, you know how there was that program that they were
thinking
of?
Yeah, they're doing it now. Oh, no, they're doing it with collectibles.
Yeah.
Look at the collectibles system. I keep getting notifications like, play Tekken this week and you get this collectible. Play one of these four indies and get the Shuhei Yoshida collectible. I just can't keep up.
The content, Dan, the content.
So the next game, Phantom Blade Zero, this was a standout for me.
The gameplay looked
really, really crisp. You got to admit, fast-paced, sword fighting, switching, running up walls.
The blade parrying or blocking where there was just so many repeated blocks looked so good.
I love that. I love that.
I do wonder how it'll go. You know, this is anyone who tries to do Soulsborne, unless you're from Soft, it does it. Yeah, they come up short. So,
but this isn't, why do you think this is Soulsborne? Nowhere have they said
it looks like Sekiro though.
Yeah, it does. But they're calling it an action RPG. So
a Soulsborne.
Well, I pray that it's like when we were watching it, I prayed that it's linear. Like I hope it's not too open world. I hope it's actually quite straightforward. Like I prefer something more like a God of War. You know, that sort of linearity where there's these open areas, but you still got this linear sort of pathway, you know, where you're going the whole way. I don't know. That's the vibe I got. Just from some of the set pieces they showed, some of these action set pieces that looked like they were scripted in a way.
From what I know, they have another Phantom Blade game that's mobile that's apparently pretty famous in China. It's got millions of players.
They're not a big studio. They're one of the guys that's done the work on this. He has worked on Dark Souls as an artist.
Yeah,
he's got some great art. He's the main, I guess, art director or whatever you want to call it for this game. Mm-hmm. And he's been posting on his Instagram and stuff, so you can check that out. He's a very talented guy.
Yeah, it's something like you're only alive for 66 days. There's some time life mechanic. But, it's great.
It's a bit of innovation, man. That's what we need, you know?
Innovation.
That's what we need, man, some innovation. Come on, Joseph Farris, where's your next game, brother? When I spoke to him, he says it's going to be way better than It Takes Two. That's what he told me when I spoke to him. Way better than It Takes Two. Just you wait, Dan. Now, you know what he's like. But, man, he hypes me up, that guy. Anyway.
He could use AI in his game to just get the AI to make 5 million mini games all of different styles.
Anyway, this will definitely hit hard for Devil May Cry fans. And Sekiro fans and Souls fans and Ghost of Tsushima fans. So you're getting all this crowd, AAA looking game. It's already got one of the highest viewed trailers. It's actually got more views than MGS, believe it or not, on the PlayStation channel, Phantom Blade Zero. And do you know why? Because it's a better trailer. Sorry. Okay. Then we talked about
Sword of the Sea.
Sword of the Sea. Yeah, that's literally
Giant squid.
Very reminiscent of Journey. Pathless. I mean, it was Journey on steroids, wasn't it?
Because now, obviously that games company was Journey, but I know Giant Squid made Abzu and the Pathless, but it's of that ilk, isn't it?
It's the same. It's the same art director again. It's the same designer, or one of.
And it's got snowboarding mechanics, so Cool Borders Journey Edition. It's exciting. You know, you think about it, Dan. Fair Game, Helldivers, Immortals of Avium, Ghost Runner 2, Phantom Blade, Sword of the Sea. It's not a bad start, I guess. But that's
But we're expecting their first party. We're not expecting it. We're expecting first party at their showcase. We're expecting something completely different. If the expectations were, you know, if they said we're going to be looking at mostly third-party titles, don't expect too many first party here. Yes, we'll show. If there's a way they could word that and get that out, I would have had a lot different. And that would have just, again, it could have just been a couple of state of plays across the last few months. I don't know.
Talos Principle 2 is the next one. Popular game between people, but we don't think either of us have played it, Dan. I've heard the first Talos Principle is pretty good, but
no.
That's coming out.
So there was a few indie titles, and then we got to Foam Stars. Like, now,
if this ain't the most blatant copy of Splatoon I've ever seen, then I don't know what is.
You literally said, is this Splatoon?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Is Splatoon coming to PlayStation?
That's what you said.
Obviously, that would never happen.
You were legit. Right?
So, look, I understand trying to capitalize. Because here's the thing, Dan, with Splatoon, it's only on Nintendo. So there's just an open, like, and that game is done very well. It's one of the best-selling games in Japan, you know. So obviously for the PlayStation market, it's open. It's open season. There's no game like it. So why not try to make a Splatoon clone for PlayStation and see?
Well, we'll see why not happens. When this bombs after a month and is dead in a year. It'll be dead in a year. The servers will be turning off within a year. Let's save this clip and hear it back when it releases.
Sounds good, Dan.
It doesn't look good, man. I feel sorry for the devs. It's dead on arrival, I'm telling you.
It is a bit of DOA in my opinion.
Okay.
Dan, what did you think? I know we're kind of skipping over these, but did you see the Plucky Squire, that one where the character's in the book? It's like Contrast, if you've ever played that one. I played that with Kieran, funnily enough.
Yeah,
the one where, you know, you're in the room and you're a 2D character in a 3D world. You're like a drawing and you're interacting with the world as a drawing.
Yeah.
That looks fun. I actually think that looks like a fun, decent indie game.
I think it's cool how they go from that perspective of in the book to then coming out to 3D and then using that within the gameplay. The only thing that's going to be a trouble for this one is just the marketing behind it and how they get it out there, because it's not fully exciting for anyone, because the characters are just kind of generic looking and no one really knows. So it's just going to be a battle of how many people will they be able to get behind this. Like, you and me might play it and some of the hardcore players, and maybe that's what they're hoping for, the good reviews and that. But
Devolver are the publisher, aren't they?
They're the publisher.
I mean, Devolver are good publishers. The developer, I don't think they've done anything much aside from the Plucky Squire.
We keep saying that a lot lately. There's a lot of new studios coming out of the works.
Yeah. That's true.
By the way, and I just want to say, like, so far we're going through the list of this showcase. Now, Phantom Blade actually is a PS5 exclusive, so that's good. But a lot of the rest of the games, and you'll see as we go along here, are all coming out on other platforms. Xbox put out a tweet. I don't know if you saw that, Vike, with all the games from their the PS showcase that are on there.
Very cheeky.
That was very cheeky, and I liked it.
Very cheeky.
I liked it. They deserved it, because PlayStation had done that for years. You remember what they did back when they said, it went viral.
Yeah, how to share games.
How to share games, yeah.
What a legendary moment. He's such a legendary moment.
And he just gave him the the diss, right? Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly, man. Yeah. So this is a bit of payback. And that, that tweet did like 50 million views.
Mm.
It did the rounds. Yeah. So they really capitalized off it. And a lot of the best games are coming to Xbox. Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater Vicar.
Snake Eater.
Who's in the shadows? Like, who is it? Dude, who's going to pop up, man? Oh, my goodness, Vicar.
No.
Oh, yes! My goodness. Oh, my goodness, so man. I cannot. Oh!
This is so good. Metal Gear Solid.
What is that? Like,
Eater starting again. Snake Eater.
The trailer came in and it felt prehistoric at the start. I'm thinking, oh, is there dinosaurs involved or something? And then...
Is this Vin Diesel's next game? What's it called? What's the game he's in?
Arc 2, yeah.
Snake Eater.
And then you saw the snake. You saw the snake. And is that when you knew?
When I knew is when after the crocodile ate the snake and it sort of started panning, like to eventually get to Big Boss, I thought, oh, is this Metal Gear? Is this MGS3? And then it was, and what a moment. It was so good. I loved it. And, you know, if you're keen, people who have keen eyes, you know, you would have, if you really looked into the trailer, the bird itself is a famous character in the series, obviously with the End being the End's pet. You know, you saw the Shagohod getting carried out. You obviously all those animals are prominent animals that you can eat and kill in the game. So it's exciting. I was only a little bit sad that we didn't get any gameplay. It's been, you know, this game's been in the rumor mill in the whatever for so long.
Did that affect your hype? All the rumors coming out for this, and did it make you less excited when it was revealed?
Obviously. It sort of reminds me of Spider-Man No Way Home, where if we didn't know anything, it would have blown our freaking minds, right?
With the three Spider-Men in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still good. I definitely, look, I think with Metal Gear, I want it to be a faithful remake. And from what they've said post-showcase, that looks like what they're doing. You know, we're bringing the original voice actors back. Where
David Hayter
screenshots. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
David Hayter's that's why he wouldn't take my interview. I told you. I told you. You didn't believe me.
Yeah. That's true. And you know, even the screenshots looked really well faithful to the remake, where it just looks completely redone from the ground up. And I think they openly said we're not looking to change anything. We're just. Because if you look at why it's called Metal Gear Solid Delta, I want to get this up. So in a tweet, they said the Delta symbol was chosen because its meaning fits the concept of the remake project. Delta means change or difference without changing structure. Mm. So they clearly saying we want change and difference without changing that structure, that core structure. And I think that is exactly what you need to do in a game. You can't touch what Kojima did. Just make the gameplay, the mechanics, the graphics, the audio, everything else better.
We haven't talked about that. Kojima, not involved. Doesn't have his blessing, let's be real. Does that affect this at all?
Nah. It's Kojima, it's his creative game. I hope that they say it's a Hideo Kojima game. Kojima loves to.
But they didn't. That's what I'm saying. His name wasn't anywhere in that trailer.
That's true. But yeah, it wasn't. So we'll see. I'm excited for it. And what's even more exciting, Dan, is that, well, not even more exciting, but what is exciting is
the collection.
Ports.
That was cool.
I think it said coming autumn 2023. So it's coming out this year, which is exciting.
But do you think I should play 2 and then 3? 1, 2, 3, PS5.
Yeah. Play it in 1, 2, 3 in order. Yeah. I wonder how they're going to do the change to controller and some of the stuff. And even MGS3, there's some stuff. So I don't know.
Like what?
Well, MGS1, you've got to switch the controller over, or there's like mono and stereo TV, you know, that sort of stuff. Insert disc 2. Or there's a lot of, you know, Psycho Mantis like vibrating your controller.
Well, what do they do on PS3? Do they keep it?
Well, with my PlayStation 3 controls, you can still switch ports. You know, player one, player two, player three.
Well, you can do that on PS4. PS5, can't you?
I guess, can you?
Yeah.
I've just never done it before. And
yeah,
the back of the CD case for Meryl's, so Meryl's codec frequency, it's in the back of the actual physical CD case because that's how they stopped piracy.
So maybe they'll give us a case that you can download or something. I don't know. Oh, did they?
In PS3 version, you can access the case. For
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Obviously for that. 140.52, 141.52, if I remember. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up. I think that's someone else's codec.
Imagine if that was real and that still works. Someone's listening and playing the collection.
141.52 is Nastasha.
Okay, if you're playing MGS, if it's out when the time you're listening to this, put that code in. Tell me.
It does work. I just looked it up.
Oh, so it's universal.
Yeah, the frequency is universal.
Oh, okay.
So if you memorize it, but back then it was before you had the internet and, you know, you're on the call with Campbell and he's like, to get Meryl's number, you got to look in the back of the CD case. And I'm like, where the hell is this CD? Like, I had the official CD case, but I'm like, where the hell is this CD case? And I'm like, looking in the game, I was looking at every nook and cranny in the level, Dan. And then there was this thing called the exercise disc. And I was like, it was an in-game item. And I'm like, what? You know, I was looking at the disc trying to like,
how old were you?
Stuff to it. Oh, I don't even remember now. Would have been primary school.
Damn.
Yeah. With me and my older brother and one of my family friends who was a lot older than both of us. Yeah, he was the one sort of telling us what to do. But yeah, really excited. So we'll see how that goes. I just wish we had gameplay and I think it'll be faithful judging by everything they've said.
Go ahead, Vic.
Sorry, I was going to quickly say I really liked one before that we missed. I really liked Teardown. That looked really interesting. It was sort of like a Minecraft meets Thief Simulator. It looked all about destructibility and obviously the aesthetic probably helps it a bit in terms of that destruction physics engine. And yeah, it just looked interesting, I wanted to say, and want to give that a shout.
That'll be cool to play around with the physics engine, how you can blow shit up because you're just literally ramming cars and shit into buildings. It looks fun. I'll play it for sure. But again, we've seen this before, like not to harp on, but we've seen this before. And another thing we'd seen before, Final Fantasy, they had to show that off again, coming out in this month, June, later in the month. So another story trailer. I didn't watch it because I'm trying to go in cold now. So that was good. And then Alan Wake 2, they showed our first glimpse of gameplay and announced there's two playable characters, a detective and Alan Wake himself.
Mm.
So that's an interesting dynamic. Very quality trailer, very grim, dark vibes, great cinematography. If they can transfer the trailer's atmosphere to the game, we're looking really good. I'm very, very excited. This is probably my second highlight of the showcase as a survival horror aficionado. What did you think, Vic, as a survival horror novice? That sounds rude, but
yeah, it's true. I had a lot of I know a lot about, you know, the
funny thing is one of your favorite games of all time is survival horror Last of Us. That's the funniest part of the whole thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But go ahead.
Now, you know, I know how popular and loved Alan Wake 1 was, and it's great to see Remedy back. I loved Control. I thought that was a phenomenal game. And this just looks like a great sequel to the original Alan Wake. You know, people who want to get into it, you've got the Alan Wake remastered right there, primed and ready for you to get ready for Alan Wake 2. So they're pretty smart, these guys, releasing the remake recently and obviously 2 coming up. So exciting.
And this is Remedy's first attempt at survival horror, by the way. That's what they say on their website, okay? Because Alan Wake, the original, is actually a psychological thriller. It's not actually a survival horror, just so you know.
They're probably going more into the Resi bandwagon, aren't they?
Not 100%. Bandwagon, no, not bandwagon, but 100%. And you can't blame them.
You can't blame them.
Because Resident Evil don't have any real stiff competition. This is the first game where I go, they actually might give them a run for their money.
Yeah, true.
So I hope it succeeds. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, no, Alan Wake Original is more, I would say, action adventure. Action adventure, yeah. More than survival horror. So they've actually stated this is their first foray into survival horror. So I just thought I'd clarify that because some people think this is a similar vein from the first game. Anyway, Remedy, man, I think put some money behind their stocks. Their stocks are rising fast. Don't you think?
Mm. Yeah.
They're going to be in 10 years. We're going to be talking about them like we talk about some other people, I think.
Yeah. Good prediction.
Okay, Vike, let's steam through a few more.
Assassin's Creed Mirage, the next installment in the Assassin's Creed franchise, full of original games that are not carbon copies. All right,
let's see what
you
say, because everyone knows I'm a fan of the series and I'll play it and this and that. And so I want to hear what you want to think, because this is them going back to their roots. Is it enough?
Yeah.
What's it doing for you, this game?
So I appreciate what they're doing. And look, Ubisoft are in a weird place, man. They're not doing that well, in my opinion. But one thing you can't blame them for is that Assassin's Creed does very, very well. The sales always kill. Like Valhalla is a prime example of how bloody successful that franchise is. It is like Valhalla did bonkers numbers, right? So obviously Assassin's Creed is going to be in the pipeline, and this one looks like, look, we're going back to the basics, back to the roots, the assassination, the stealth, the social stealth, whatever it is. And I was excited when I heard about it, but when I saw this, I'm just like, I don't know. It just looks the same as the older Assassin's Creed. This looks like Assassin's Creed 1, doesn't it?
It's pretty much like that for PS5, Dan, let's be honest.
If I showed you Assassin's Creed 2 or Unity, this, you wouldn't know which one's which. Like, you wouldn't be wrong for mistaking that, you know, the climbing, the jumping off the building.
So you think even from a graphical sense and a performance sense, it looks similar?
And performance do look similar, but that's not, I'm just talking about the gameplay. I don't know. I don't know what I want from Assassin's Creed. Like, I know it's sort of all the people are like harping on about how they want the original stealth, and then when the original stealth comes, they complain that they don't want it, and yada yada. I'm not one of those people. I always did want the original stealth, but now that I see it, I'm like, I think I'm just done with the franchise. I just don't know what else I want. You know, this. I was always a big fan of the Animus, the real life stuff as well, and that's kind of gone, and it's just individual, non-connected stories of assassins.
Do you know what I don't like?
I don't care if freaking whatever his name is comes back. I've got his name.
The characters have been lost now since, like, there's no big characters since Desmond Miles, is there? They haven't been able to replicate that in a story point of view.
Yeah, Desmond and Ezio.
Yeah.
That was the real cream, wasn't it? Desmond in the real life, Ezio in the assassin's life. And yeah, I don't know, Dan. I don't know. I'm not going to play it. I'm not excited for it. But
what if it got tens across the board?
It won't.
I know it won't. Trust me.
I'm not trying to be mean. It's just, it looks like
you're
solid.
So confident about it. Like you've like seen solid, it and played it.
A solid 8 out of 10. A solid,
I know,
10
it does.
Half.
It looks like a solid 8.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
They've got the world. It's the same as Assassin's Creed 2, Dan. How can they innovate on that? Like, what are they going to, you know, iterate on? Unless it has this amazing story, what else can they do? It's climbing across buildings, doing little stealth sections, and
They better fucking upgrade the AI, man. Ubisoft AI is shocking. They need to put some more time into it. Like, if you compare the AI in The Last of Us to Ubisoft, it's laughable. It's laughable.
Second
different.
To none, though.
I know.
Second to none. Yeah.
I know, but Ubisoft are pretty big.
Yeah, it's true. But they're not.
Who brings in more money, Ubisoft or Naughty Dog? Ubisoft.
Yeah, that's true. But what brings in more money, Dan? A Marvel movie or a Spielberg movie?
Yeah, I know. But. The difference is laughable. So they need to upgrade that AI, and hopefully they have with this one, with a more condensed area, they can focus on AI being not so fucking dumb. And
true.
Anyway. Yeah, so this is where, again, going back, I was talking about innovation. This is where I'm thinking they just haven't innovated. This trailer could have come out in 2012. You know what I mean? So, okay, Street Fighter VI was shown. Dragon's Dogma, we don't know much about that series, I hate to say. We're really just not well equipped. People love this game and this announcement and what they're showing. We can't say much on it. We just never really played it. So that was another one that sort of came in three quarters into the showcase. Then we went into some of the VR stuff, and we had Beat Saber, we had Five Nights at Freddy's, we had Resident Evil 4 VR.
Of course, there's a Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, I know, right?
Arizona Sunshine.
We had Crossfire. Remember Crossfire VR game, man? I thought
Crossfire.
When that game came out, and I'll insert it if I've got it, but I essentially said the VR2 is dead. or something like that. I'm like, no one cares about
Half-Life Alyx?
I know.
Where was the super hot sequel? The Queen music pack was great. I think that was a great one. I think Arizona Sunshine 2.
That was good.
Pretty well. Yeah, that was good. Resi 4, that was great. But there just needed to be more.
Arizona looked too good to be true in many respects.
And Synapse was the one with David Hayter and
Jennifer Hale.
I know the game Republic that was on mobile, that had both of them. I don't think it's by the same.
Universe? Must be.
Yeah, if you got the same.
Possibly.
Actors, yeah, it's got to be.
Anyway, VR was actually kind of not too bad. That sort of run of 10 minutes, I thought it'd be longer and I thought it'd be just more blown out, but it was actually not too bad. I was just missing a couple of key ingredients. And then we got into Marathon. Marathon did the waves online, man. People are hyped, and I guess it's just because it's Bungie. I mean, people love Bungie, and this is their first new IP in a long time. It had that quality to it, though, man. I'm telling you, this CGI trailer stood out amongst the rest for whatever reason. There's something about it that just...
There's always a broken moon. But it did look good, Dan. You're right.
Yeah.
And
I like the look of it, man. I love the graphic design.
Really interesting to see them. Yeah, obviously Sony acquired Bungie, but obviously this will be multi-platform because part of that deal was that Bungie have creative freedom and freedom of where they want to release these games. But I definitely see more and more Sony, the reason why Sony want Bungie. It is for the talent, the games, but it's actually more so for the talent and to use Bungie as that studio, that consulting studio on all their live service titles. They are using the talent at Bungie to train and equip the other studios. You know, I remember a Forbes article was talking about this acquisition. They were saying that it looks like what Sony are doing are essentially the talent at Bungie, they are using that staff to train other PlayStation studios on how to make live service titles. And it makes sense.
Did you hear the story come out about Factions?
I did hear that. I don't know how verified that is. Jason Schreier?
He apparently said that Bungie looked over Factions and now it's been delayed and staff have been cut. And, man, when I read all this, I'm just gutted, man. It sucks. What's going on? Is it that hard? It just needed to be like Factions 1 in a Battle Royale sort of setting. That's all I was looking for.
This is why you buy Bungie, isn't it? Because, how good is it? How good is you have an internal studio that has that talent that can look over games and be like, this is not up to scratch. As the kings of live service with Destiny, let us show you, let us help you and guide you. And this is the reason why Sony paid millions of dollars as part of that buyout deal just to retain the staff at Bungie, because they know if you buy Bungie and all the staff leave, there's no point. They didn't buy the studio. They bought the talent. They bought the staff there. And this is a prime example of why, isn't it, if this is all true.
My friend actually works at Bungie. And oh, nice. He'll be working on Marathon. So if I really
can get us some good stock on him. In, some bungee stock.
He moved from Australia to the US to get a game dev job, worked his way through and got into Bungie. How cool is that?
What a legend.
Yeah.
That is good.
And now he'll be working on Marathon, so that's cool. But
I'm joining Kojima Productions tomorrow.
Yeah. No, it really did the rounds online, Marathon. It was one of the most viewed trailers across the net. It had one of the most hyped up games. I was shocked. I guess the Destiny fans came in and the collective Halo fans as well, because this is on Xbox, this is on everything. Yeah, it's exciting, but they said on their Twitter that they're not showing any more for now and we'll come back later with gameplay. They actually said, next time you see us, we'll have gameplay. Great way to stop any more speculation. Just say, yep, next time you'll see gameplay. Beautiful.
Interesting. Yeah, great idea. I wonder when that next time is.
Well,
Summer Games Fest.
I don't think it's this year. I don't think it's anytime soon. I really don't.
They're just so busy consulting with all these other studios on whether their games are good enough, which is great.
Anyway, if that factions shit, man, did that bum you out?
It bums me out, but then I'm like, maybe it's one step back, two steps forward. And, you know, the funny thing is we'll never know the current state, you know, factions is in. But imagine if it releases, it's a huge success, and then they're like, this is what it was going to be. And we were like, thank God they didn't do that sort of thing. Like, I hope it's one of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
You think about a game that's flopped on arrival, Dan, where if they just had the right person to look over it, the right talent to look over it, they could have given them a good direction. And I hope this is that scenario.
Yeah. No, it's just disappointing because he said last year we're going to see it and now we're not, and now it's delayed and... They actually put out a statement. Now, this is the difference, right? So with Naughty Dog compared to others. So we see a lot of these Twitter statements with a big bit of text, right? It made famous from Cyberpunk, the big yellow.
It's true.
Remember that? And then we've got one with Gollum recently because Gollum was such a disaster. They put out, we pretty much said, look, we're sorry. We're going to do everything we can to make it better. But the Naughty Dog, they do it before the game's released. That's the difference. They say we're not happy with it.
Good point.
Before the game's released.
That is the difference,
Vykarth. So I'm fine with that. But it's just disappointing as a fan. So anyway, hopefully that isn't cancelled because I've heard people say it's going to be cancelled. I really hope that's not the case either. But okay, a few more, Vic, on the showcase, and then we'll wrap up here today. We've got Destiny 2 was straight after that, the next DLC. Then we had a Gran Turismo movie showcase. Then we had PS5 hardware. Was it the PS5 Pro that I predicted? No, it was Project Q.
Q Lite or Q?
Essentially a handheld device with an OLED screen in the middle that is connected via the cloud, remote play, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, is this excite you, Vic?
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Enough,
okay.
Because here's the thing, Dan. It is just an elongated controller with a screen in the middle. But
you'd use it at home?
Yeah, I think I would.
Cool.
That's why I'm excited. I know a common gripe about the Switch is that it's uncomfortable unless you get the right attachments. Where this, you've got the grip, you've got the DualSense feel with the screen in the middle, and I can definitely. If I'm upstairs around the house, you know, I don't have to
go to the big TV downstairs.
It's such a first world problem.
I know. But you're in
parking
bed.
Parking my butt down.
Yeah, I know what you mean. In bed
You know, there's just more passivity, you know, where you can do it. But
you do it in the toilet.
Do it on the toilet, whatever it is.
Imagine having one on your bedside table and one on the toilet. So whenever you go to the toilet, you play 20 minutes.
I'm gonna have a Q light in every room, Dan. In every room.
I would use it in the bath.
Or Project Q.
I think it'd be cool in the bath.
If it's waterproof.
It's not. I won't drop it. Well, I hope I won't.
I won't drop it. Dan, I will say we did skip over one game.
Yeah.
And that was Concord.
Oh, sorry, Concord. Yeah. It was so lackluster. I just... skipped over.
You're right, Dan. It was very lackluster. But obviously, Firewalk Studios, so another recently acquired Sony first party. So we know what they're doing now. So we know what Haven are doing. We know what Firewalk are doing. So that's great. And this is a AAA project, according to them. It is a PvP multiplayer, sci-fi multiplayer, I should say.
And I thought it was Guardians of the Galaxy for a second.
I know. What a game. What a great game. If anyone hasn't played Guardians of the Galaxy, the game, please do so. It is such a great game. And if you haven't watched the third Guardians of the Galaxy, play the game, then watch the movie. It is, you will feel something special, I will say.
So you will buy this Project Q-Vike. What price would you buy at Australian? And I'll convert that to US for the listeners. What's the
$450.
$450. So that's $300 US. Yeah. So you'd pay $450 for it.
Damn. Think about it, Dan. The DualSense is already $100. Like,
yeah.
This is a DualSense with a big screen with Wi-Fi capability and all that sort of stuff. It's
They reckon it could. Yeah, they're saying it's between $250 and $300 USD predictions. Mm. So I feel like they'll do a Sony premium, you know, in quotations.
Yeah. The only thing I think about the Q-Light is I wish I could take it. Like if I'm waiting at an appointment, if I'm somewhere out where I'm waiting, I wish I could just whip it out and play it. But you obviously need Wi-Fi and you can't really do it, can you?
Don't know.
Australia, especially with Australia's internet.
So they also had the earbuds, PlayStation earbuds. Would you purchase those?
I've got AirPods, mate. No, but it's
AirPods. Yeah, they're kind of like that.
It looked cool, didn't it? The little case that slides across and look, it's good for the Q-Lite, I think, because obviously if you're not going to have a speaker or some generic speaker, it's better to have those. I do wonder if other Bluetooth headphones like AirPods will connect, because then I won't need the earbuds. But actually, it looks really cool, I will say. And this is Sony. Sony actually, like, this isn't some gimmick product. They're a hardware company. It'd actually be, and they do audio. So I actually hope that these earbuds will be good.
Sony's audio is usually
pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right, Vike, the big one, Spider-Man. I was underwhelmed.
Spider-Man, Dan?
No, honestly, I was underwhelmed.
Look, I think it was just too much gameplay, but I like that they did it. I like that you switch with Miles. The reason why I'm not overwhelmed is because I'm so excited for Spider-Man, but I already know what I'm getting. Showing me this gameplay doesn't really, like, I would rather see gameplay of
Fair game.
Or I would rather see of Concord, or something we don't know about. I know what we're getting with Spider-Man 2. I know you can switch to Miles. That's great. Spider-Man, Peter Parker's obviously consumed with the Venom symbiote. That's great. That's great to see. But the gameplay was the same, wasn't it? The stealth section with Miles, the fighting, there's a bit of iteration, which is great. This game's still going to be a phenomenal 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 game. I'm so excited for it. But I already know what I'm getting. I don't need to see anything more. So if I had 5 minutes of gameplay, that would have been great. But this just seemed a bit overkill. It seemed like they wanted to show 10 minutes, Dan, because they had nothing else to show. And they knew that they had nothing else to show this showcase. So they had to show a long form of this. You know what I mean? So, maybe I'm a bit more hot on it than you are, Dan. But I'm excited for Kraven. I think Kraven will be a great villain if they do him well, and it's something different, which I'm excited about.
I hope that there's more action set pieces like we're seeing in this trailer alongside the water, where we've got this 20-minute section where you're switching and doing different things and that sort of thing. Because I remember they showed that similar gameplay when the first game was being marketed. And if you remember, it was like holding up the crane or something. And you had to do the quick time event and all that.
When the game actually
came out, that was one of only a handful of those sections, which was one of the disappointing parts. There wasn't enough of that. Like Uncharted, you know, in Uncharted, you're going to get a lot of these action set pieces along the way.
How good was that? When I thought of the water, I thought of Uncharted.
It was straight out of Uncharted. It really was straight out of Uncharted in many ways. And it kind of just made me think, God, I want to see another Uncharted again. We didn't get that.
I know. Good. When I think of the set pieces of Uncharted, oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, you've got these additions I've seen where you get to play as Miles and you also get – that's great. But we even mentioned – so we had a little moment where we mentioned, like, well, GTA 5 did this in 2013 with three characters with barely any loading on a PS3. Am I wrong?
I'm still baffled to this day, Dan. I'm still baffled. PlayStation 3, and these are real time characters that are
out moving,
and about doing something. Yeah. They have to track them, and the teleportation didn't take that long, and that no SSD. Like, I don't know how the hell they what wizardry they did to optimize that for PS3, because there are PS5 games out now that still wouldn't be able to do that. These developers, so. Yeah, and here's the thing, Dan. I don't think we will be able to freely switch like GTA. It's contextual.
It is contextual as well. Yeah. And another thing, I hate to be the graphics guy, but I was expecting a better looking game than this. Now, maybe I'm nitpicking. But
no, I think with Sony first parties, you can expect graphics as one of the big selling points.
It really doesn't affect much, but you know, I expected something a little bit more graphically from Insomniac. I just didn't see that with this. I just felt a little underwhelmed. That's just how I'm feeling. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I was just feeling a little underwhelmed, and hopefully, when the game actually comes out and is all put together, it comes together a lot better than what we've seen here. Yeah, maybe it could also be. I'm just trying to justify why I'm like this, and maybe it is just a bit of that Marvel fatigue seeping through, where not really all invested in the story and characters and that villain of Kraven, because I feel like if it was Green Goblin, I'd be more excited. I don't know, or someone else that I'm more invested in than Kraven. I don't know much about Kraven. What do you expect from this villain?
This would be a better question to ask Jordan. But from what I know about Kraven the Hunter, he is a hunter, right? So he's all about his traps, and he's a pretty big character in the Marvel comics and the Spider-Man rogues. He's actually killed someone, I'm pretty sure. He's done something big, but... Yeah, he's definitely all about traps. He's got, you know, the hand-to-hand physical. He's a tactician. He can track Spider-Man. You know, that's what I'm excited about. It's a different type of villain. It's not a physical villain. It is in a way, but it's a different type of physicality where there's traps, where you're cornered, where he can outsmart you rather than Rhino, who's just a big brute and you have to punch him. Dodge, punch 100 times. Dodge, punch 100 times. Animation, quick time animation. So I hope it's something more than that.
And I got Prototype vibes. I don't know if you ever played Prototype.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, I had Prototype vibes, even the UI. And it's interesting because remember God of War Ragnarok, how when we switched to Atreus, it was never as fun as playing as Kratos, was it? That's itching to get back to Kratos. I feel like they could have the same problem here because the symbiote suit looks super fun. And then you switch to Miles, man. And I'm thinking they're going to have these stealth sections. It's not going to be as fun. You're going to be itching to come back. And maybe that will help with the pacing of it. But it didn't help with the pacing of it in Ragnarok.
But you know what the funny thing is, Dan? When I played Miles Morales, I had so much fun because he had that electricity power. He had invisibility. He had a bit more gadgets than Peter Parker that I was going to be like, in the next Spider-Man, I'm wondering – I'm going to miss out because I'm playing Miles. I like Miles. He's got way more abilities.
Right.
And now it's the other way around, like you said, Dan, because now Peter Parker has the Venom suit. So Miles will have the great gadgets, the invisibility, the electricity. I think there was another ability they showed. And Peter Parker will have the Venom suit. I think there'll be good variety in each way. That's what I'm hoping.
I did notice the lightning color was blue now, not yellow. Did you notice that?
Yeah, Miles? I did notice that. I think Kraven in the comics killed Spider-Man, by the way.
Oh, I hope he does it here. That's what we need to see, some huge moments in gaming. Yeah. They're too safe. They'll never do it. They'll never do it, man. Let's
you can't,
be honest,
you can't
man.
Stop Spider-Man. Nah,
you can't kill him. You can't kill him. But imagine if they did. You can carry on with Miles. He was great in that game. Look, the voice acting's good, and you can tell the voice acting's top-notch, and props to them as well, because the game was running pretty well performance-wise, frame rate-wise. It was raw gameplay by the looks of it. What did you guys think of Spider-Man? Let us know. Vike, we didn't get to a story that I've been desperate to. We'll do it next week. Overwatch.
Yes.
We teased it last time. We're just going to have to give us another tease for next week. Give us some general feelings on that, because Overwatch story is no more, essentially, guys.
Yeah, it's disappointing, because that was the reason why they warranted a sequel. That was their main reason that validated and warranted that sequel. And now there's no story mode. So it's just updated graphics and night maps of the same maps, and some slightly new sounds and mechanics. Like, it's really underwhelming that they're charging what they charged. Well, Overwatch 2 was free, I guess, was it? So in that way, look, it's no harm, no foul. It's free to play. But this is the thing, Dan. Overwatch 1 ran so dry because they were saving everything for Overwatch 2. And now it's come out, it's underwhelming because there's no story mode. It didn't hit that well. And it's sort of like, well, all that time we ran the content pipe dry for Overwatch 2, it looks like that was all for nothing. So
how did they fumble that so hard?
Considering it was 2016 Game of the Year, Dan. Considering it was probably one of the most popular games of all time, and that
great characters,
casuals knew what Overwatch was. People were begging for Overwatch shorts. People were begging and loving all of the lore, the shorts, the voice lines.
And to be honest, they still kind of are. It's just the game isn't supporting what they want.
Yeah. I think they really fumbled the ball, and we'll talk about it, but very, very disappointing.
And then lastly, before we go, guys, I did watch Fast 10, which Vike watched. And it's funny, man, because the whole time, it goes for 2.5 hours nearly. The whole time I'm thinking, this is one of the worst films I've ever seen. But by the end, I'm thinking, will I watch the next one? And the answer is always yes. So I can't sit here and say they're bad film, but when I'm going to see the next one, I've got to watch the next one now after this cliffhanger and fucking, oh man, I don't know how they do it. It's honestly so bad that it's good. It's gotten to that territory.
It is. It's an anime.
Do you agree?
It's
so bad.
It's an action movie.
Jason Momoa is just playing the Joker or some shit.
Dude,
he's going crazy.
He was so good though.
He's been given like 30 minutes to he's talking to dead people and doing random shit.
But wasn't he
and
good?
He's the star, isn't he? He's the star of the show.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel's the classic Vin Diesel. He's always got to be talking about family and have these deep moments with his kid and stuff. It's classic. And then they got every returning character. I mean, the worst thing for me is the sidekick in London.
Jason Statham.
Tyrese and... Ludacris, those guys, that they're not funny, man. They've got to go. They're not doing anything for me,
but
man.
They're
not the levity, though.
They are the DNA.
But they're not doing anything. What are they doing?
Ludacris, I know, but they
where's
are
the character
DNA,
art? He's a leader now. Come on, man. I just couldn't care less.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, Jason Statham is back.
The thing is, there's just too many characters. Oh. So there's so many different arcs they have to do. They do is they do group arcs. So Tyrese's group, Vin Diesel's group, and then, Michelle Rodriguez's Letty's group, with Charlize Theron. Like, I always enjoy it.
And they always manage to bring in a drag race. They got the drag race in.
They always have a drag race.
With that, the same music. And
and there's always a girl's dancing.
Girl dancing, yeah.
Classic. Classic movie, guys.
Oh, it's so bad that it's good, honestly. But can you recommend it to the audience? I don't know if I
can.
Can
if you
we?
Want a good time?
Can we?
Oh, I don't know.
Who did you see it with?
I saw it with my fiance and
what did she
my
think?
Brother-in-law. She liked it. We as a family like the Fast movies. So
we
liked it. It's good fun.
Jordan's the biggest advocate, so we've got to hear his review when he watches it.
Yeah. I liked it. I hope Jordan's watched it. I don't know if he has, but
yeah, I don't know, man. It was pretty cringy at times as well. Like some of the dialogue is unbelievably bad.
Yeah. The driving is so funny when he's like got the helicopters have like the two helicopters have got their
oh my god, man.
Jumps off.
It was so ridiculous. That's like, what I mean. It's actually come to the point where it's so ridiculous that you want to see what ridiculous shit they're going to do next time. He literally drives down a dam. That's literally, and the
you
dams,
can only do that in GTA.
The dam's exploding. GTA, the dam's exploding, and he's driving down the dam.
Even
perfectly.
In GTA, you would die driving down that dam. So I don't know.
Oh,
it's funny.
And I kind of want to. Okay, this is heavy spoilers. You can leave now. We're nearly done. But like the turn was horrendous. The guy, the Jack Reacher guy, that actor, how he goes from good to bad.
Come on, man.
What were you thinking?
Why the hell
then?
Is Alan Rich in this
Alan
movie?
Rich in the, like, what is he doing in the movie?
I forgot he was in this movie. Just so random, adding another
actor. You've got all these famous stars. Let's bring in a couple more and give them more time than the original characters. Like, you just think, this is crazy.
Since we are in spoiler territory, we got to say the return of The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. it's beef has been squashed between Vin and Dwayne, and they're coming back. And then the return of Giselle, Gal Gadot.
How is she alive, man?
In Fast 6, was it? She literally jumped off a moving plane into the explosion onto a solid concrete or bitumen runway.
Yeah, you can't die. You can't die. And even if you are dead, rest in peace, Paul Walker. Love you, bro. Even he's alive in the movie.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. It's crazy. I like what they've done with him, but they've just kept him. Like, you know,
I don't know, man. I like the sentiment, but his sister keeps popping up everywhere. Where's he? And then they randomly say, oh, yeah, he's safe. Like, it just.
But I was so gobsmacked when I saw Gal Gadot. And obviously they got her because when she was in the Fast. When
Were you
she was
hyped?
In Fast originally. No. When she was in Fast originally, Dan. No, gobsmacked in a bad way. Like, how the hell did she survive? Like, and I just rolled my eyes because you know what they realized? Like, when Gal Gadot was in Fast 5 or whatever, she wasn't famous. And now she's famous. And they're like, we've got to bring her back.
100%.
And it's just such an eye roll, isn't it, that she's in it.
But I'm surprised the only one that's actually stayed dead is Chris Hemsworth's wife. I forgot her name in the movie, but she's actually apparently dead.
Oh, yeah, because she got shot in the head. You can't come back from a bullet to the head, Dan. You can't come back.
That's the only way you actually die in this movie.
You come back from a fiery explosion and you can come back from a horrific car crash where your car explodes as well, Dan. But you cannot come back from a bullet in the head. That's the fast the fast physics. You can't come back from that, Dan. That's the legal. That's the laws.
And even in this film, they tease that the ship went down and they're all dead, and then they tease John Cena dying. You just know they're not dead.
The dam explodes, and then Hobbs. Oh my god,
Hobbs and Cena. Yeah. Like you got two wrestlers, biggest wrestlers ever. They're going to put them on screen together. Why wouldn't you? Don't you think?
Dude, why wouldn't you? Hobbs, Cena, Vin Diesel, Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited for that, Dan. I'm excited for that as an action sequence. Like, oh, man, that'd be good.
Do you reckon Hobbs will be Hobbs is a heel. He's a bad guy.
No, Hobbs is a good guy. He's going to fight Alan Richson because they're both as big as each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can just tell, Dan. They're both as muscly as
That's why they've got Alan. They needed someone big. That's the only reason.
Yeah, surely, Dan. Surely.
You're right, because then you'll have Vin taking on Jason and you'll have The Rock taking on Alan Rich, as you said, yeah.
No, no, because Jason Statham's sort of a good guy.
Oh, Jason, no, Jason Momoa. Momoa. Jason Momoa, yeah.
So
yeah.
Who's Jason Statham taking on?
Nah, he's not he's not even in it. He's a side character. He's not that big. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, but there's going to be a Helen Mirren, Charlize Theron. Oh, my gosh. There's just so many characters. Kurt Russell, Dan. He wasn't in it, but he's coming back.
Oh, hold on. Pete Davis was horrible. That was not funny.
That
was cringy, man. I was
cringy.
Can we end this scene? It was so bad.
I don't know why he was there. But Kurt Russell's going to be back, Dan, as well, speaking of star power.
Jeez.
So good times, Dan.
That's so funny, man. Such a funny movie. It's a comedy. If you're looking for a comedy, this is it. The amount of times I laughed and thinking this is ridiculous, like, good on him.
100%. Yeah.
They've found the niche. I don't know how well it's done box office-wise. I think it's done 400 mil so far. Maybe on the slightly softer side, but probably enough to greenlight another few. And apparently there's spin-offs. So anyway, that is it for today. Vika, it's been a pleasure. What are you playing this week?
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding. I'll play
Ghost Runner.
Death Stranding. I'm going to play Street Fighter. So I'll give a review on that next week. All right.
Awesome.
That being said, it's been my pleasure to serve you, and it's been Vicar's pleasure to serve you. And we will see.
Snake Eater.
Snake Eater.
We will see you later.
Later.